Let's pray. You know, Lord, I think of that song, I Will Praise You Still, and I thank you for that because we do face many trials, many storms, and during that time, I pray that we would always be people who would turn our hearts to you and that we would praise you during the good times and the bad times. Lord, you are always worthy to be praised. Your word is always worthy to be shared, to be spoken. Despite, Lord, the things that we go through, you are always holy, and you are always gracious and loving and merciful and compassionate, and your praises should always be spoken. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of that, and when we do struggle and when we go through the hard times, I pray that you would always be our God and the rock upon which we stand and the anchor that holds us firmly in peace. We love you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I wrote a short communion message. If you'd like to open your... No, not if you'd like. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23. And then you can also kind of footnote Luke 22, because we're going to look at both of these passages this morning briefly. But beginning with 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Now turn over with me to Luke 22, verse 17 through 21. So Luke 22, beginning verse 17, says, "After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" So today, communion, as we take communion, it's a time really for remembering and for forgetting. So we have this little paradox going on. So it's a time to remember and it's a time to forget. And to properly worship this morning for communion, we need to do a few things. We need to forget the petty. We need to forget the trivial, the worldly. We need to let go of those things. You know, the thousand things that concern us that really aren't important. We need to let those things go. We must forget our quarrels, our disagreements that we have with, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ, or with our family, or with non-believers, or employers, or whatever. You know, we need to let these quarrels go, these disagreements with family members, co-workers, all of the people that are involved in our lives. We need to let go of these petty quarrels or these grudges that we hold. And we must forget our worldly worries. You know, all of our anxieties have got to be laid aside. I mean, truly, guys, why do we have anxiety? What is anxiety? It's worry, it's fear, okay? It's really, anxiety is based out of fear. And we really have not been given a spirit of fear. So why do we have anxiety? Again, it takes us back to kind of what I shared last week about Peter and stepping out onto the waves, right, and trusting God. He did it until he started to take his eyes off of Jesus and look at his circumstances. And then the fear set in and he sank. So we've got to set aside our fear and the fear of what's going to happen in our lives or what isn't happening or things aren't necessarily going the way that I thought they would, and so I'm panicking a little bit. Whatever the case is we've got to forget that. We've got to set those things aside. And so again, communion is kind of a time of forgetting, letting go. And what about that nagging sin that we struggle with? That nagging, you know, thorn in our flesh that Paul talks about. You know, we need to ask God to forgive us. And what does Scripture tell us? If we ask for forgiveness, He makes us work for it, right? No. If we ask Jesus, if we ask the Lord to forgive us, He is faithful and just, right? He forgives us and then He does what? Not only does He forgive us, but He cleanses us of all unrighteousness, right? And remembers no more, right? We need to pray and ask God to forgive us every time we blow it. And then not only do we do that, but I've said this many times, this is that how many of us accept it? How many of us, we pray that and we say, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I did it again. And God says, you did what again? Well, you know, that same thing that I did yesterday and the day before and the day before. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I know what you've done right here. Let's deal with that. So then we say, okay, Lord, please forgive me for that. And then He says, you're forgiven. My promise is that I will forgive you if you ask for forgiveness. And I will wash away all unrighteousness. I will cleanse you. And then I'll remember it as far as the east is from the west. And it was really comical this week. My buddy Rob at work, he's also a pastor. Rob came to me and he says, I've had an epiphany. And I said, what? And he goes, I found where east meets west. And I said, what are you talking about? And so he had just taken a motorcycle trip all down PCH, you know, Pacific Coast Highway from San Francisco down to LA. And in one part of his drive, he found this huge freeway sign that said, you're heading on this freeway east, and then this also freeway headed west. He goes, I found where east meets west. And I go, well, what does that mean, dude? Does that mean that now your sins are no longer forgiven because you found where east meets west? You're done. I go, that was a sign for you. Forget it. You're lost. And he started laughing. He goes, I didn't think of it that way. I said, wow, maybe you should have. I go, thanks, bro. You ruined it for all of us. But really, we need to ask for forgiveness for that thorn in our flesh and move on. And we need to accept God's forgiveness. How many of us spend time in prayer saying, thank you, God, that you forgive me. Thank you, God, that you have cleansed me. Thank you, God, that I am made righteous in you. Do we do that? We need to do that. If we could spend that time in prayer thanking God for His goodness instead of focusing on how bad we are, yeah, you know, it would be so much different. Thank you, God, that I am not bound by that sin. Thank you, God, that you have set me free from that sin. Thank you, God, that you have delivered me and spent more time in thanksgiving and praise. We would find more joy. We really would. And I think those thorns in our flesh would slowly dissipate. They would be gone. They wouldn't have as much control as we give them, because we're truly the ones that give them the power. So communion, you know, we need to accept God's forgiveness. And we need to know, too, that God doesn't keep score. I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you do not keep score. I mean, how depressed would I be if I thought God kept a little record of everything I've done wrong? That would be awful. Forget it. What's the point then? I give up. I quit. Forget it. I'm just going to go run into the world and just live it up because I'll never make it. So once we ask for forgiveness, He forgives and forgets. And again, Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. So our sins have been removed up to that point in PCH somewhere in LA where, you know, just stay out of California, you might be okay, right? But you know what? In forgetting, we do need to keep short accounts with God. You know, could it be that simple? Short accounts, what does that mean to keep short accounts? Okay, spouses, You know, do you keep a record of wrongs? Well, you know, you did this, and you always do this, and you never do this, and you go and you throw them all out there. That's the worst feeling when your spouse doesn't forget and doesn't forgive and lets you move on. We got to keep short accounts, forgetting that, you know, the past, once it's been forgiven, once it's been cleansed by the blood of Christ, it's gone. And we need to let it go. We need to let it go. So really, I think this is the first part of communion, is we need to forget. And when you spend that time in prayer, that's where you're supposed to go and say, you know what, Lord, I've been holding on to this. It's a time for us to get right with God. It's a time for us to get in that place where I can say, Lord, I've been harboring this. I've been struggling with this. I haven't let this go. I've allowed a root of bitterness to come inside over this issue, and I just need you to uproot it. You know, if I've learned anything over the last 5 months, it's been, man, I am just powerless to change myself. No matter how hard I try, I just make it worse. And what I'm learning to do is to just say, Lord, I just need you to change me. I need you to do the work. And not only do I need you to do it, but I give you permission to do it. That's a dangerous statement. Do you give God permission to work in your life? You know, He's a gentleman. God is a gentleman, and He's not going to force Himself on you, and He's not going to force you to do anything. Do you give Him the permission to work in your life? You know, so this morning, when you get into that time of prayer before we take the elements, examine your heart. Lord, what is it? What is it that I've been holding on to? What is it that I've been relying upon that isn't you? You know, where am I struggling to trust you? You know, examine your heart and ask God, and then say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. If He shows you something, you know, say, Lord, please take that from me. Forgive me for holding on to that. And then let it go and move forward into the second half here, which is communion is also a time to remember. So here we're going to forget these things of the world, the fear, the anxiety, the cares, the grudges, the bitterness, whatever it is. We're going to let these things go. And this morning we're going to remember. Now, what's there to remember when it comes to communion? Just the most important thing in history. Right. If it weren't for what He did, would we, you know, A, if it weren't for what He did, we would never be able to forget anything. Because, you know, what's that? We'd still be making sacrifices, true, right? But we need to remember Jesus. We need to remember His sinless life, His death on the cross. We need to remember His broken body, right? His shed blood. Without these things, we would be truly lost. We wouldn't be here today. None of us would be here today. You know, here is the time and the place to remember that our sins broke His heart. You know, we need to remember that we're not our own. You know, we were bought and paid for with a price, a steep price. The blood of Jesus, the most costly price, He shed for us and for the remission of our sins. For the remission of our sins yesterday, today, tomorrow, a year from now, you know, 10 years from now. Lord willing, I pray He comes back before then so we don't have to worry about it. But the fact remains that Jesus' shed blood cleanses us of all sin. Now, as I think about it, we really can't live without one or the other. We have to have both of these issues of forgetting and remembering. I think we're hindered in the process of remembering the goodness and the grace of Christ if we haven't truly let go of where we came from. You know, I know what kind of a life I lived before I came to Christ, and it wasn't pretty. And I think about where God has brought me from, and I'm thankful. This is, yeah, you know, I think it's amazing. This morning, you know, let's take some time to spend in prayer and meditation here, and let this morning be a time that we forget and we, you know, again, lay aside the cares of the world, the stress, anxiety, the things that consume us, and remember Jesus. Let's remember the sacrifice that he made for us. Remember this morning, one of the most important facts is that we've been set free from sin. You don't have to sin anymore. We don't. Amen. We've been set free, and we have the power within us via the Holy Spirit to not sin any longer, to not be mastered by it, not be controlled by it. It's a big deal. Yeah, yeah. We always have that split second of, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I? Every one of us has that. And you know what I'm talking about because you're all smiling, right? So it's like we know that in a moment of that temptation, if we just look to Jesus. And you know, tell yourself truly, do I really, what's the outcome of this sin? We've played this game. We know what it's about. If I do this, then this is going to happen. I might have a few moments of pleasure, but that few moments is going to be completely forgotten, and we're going to be engulfed by all the garbage that comes as a repercussion. You know, we've been set free by the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead to bring life to us so that we too could rise from the dead. We have risen from the dead. Do you realize that we are eternally alive right now? Amen. Do you realize that you are living eternal life right now? Hallelujah. Thank God it's not going to be here in this state forever, right? But we're alive. We will never taste true death. That excites me. That excites me. You know, there were a couple of times when I was on Ireland driving on these crazy roads where I thought I was going to experience death, but we will never taste true death, which is separation from God. And we are eternally alive. This is something to be extremely grateful for and thankful for. That this morning we can come to the table, we can come and partake of the elements knowing that we've been forgiven, that we will have eternal life with Jesus. That we will go and see those who have gone on before us, and we will experience that intimate fellowship with God forever. This morning, make this personal, okay? Take a few moments as we get ready to... Are you guys going to do a song? Okay. We have been freed. We are alive spiritually and eternally. This morning, make this personal. Don't come up and take the elements until you've reconciled this with God. Lord, where am I? Here's where I'm at. Here's where I'm at with this issue, with this issue, with this issue. Please let me lay these at your feet. Please wash me clean of this. Please set me free and deliver me from these things, God. I know you've already done it. Help me to embrace that and to actualize that in my life. And make this a time where we set the record straight with God before we partake of the elements. Remember, we keep short accounts. When you forgive, when you sin, right afterwards, make it right with God and move on. Dust your feet, get up, dust yourself off, and say, Lord, I blew it. Forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm sorry for what I did. Verbalize it. And then say, will you forgive me? And then, you know what, Lord? Thank you that you've forgiven me. Thank you. And start quoting the promises that you've been given. Thank you that I can pick up and I can go and I'm not a lousy dirtbag and I'm not a loser and I'm not this and I'm not that. Because that's what the enemy wants you to believe. Remember, put on the armor of God. Put on the armor. I don't want to hear the lies of the enemy. Put on the helmet of salvation. Protect yourself. And let the blood of Jesus wash these things away. Wash the sin away. Wash the bitterness away. Wash the unreconciled issues that you've got. the guilt, the condemnation, all of the things that we struggle with, and receive this morning His loving kindness. That's why we come here today. That's why we do this on Communion Sunday, because we're being obedient to what He said. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've done for you. Amen? So let's take a few minutes. If you guys want to come up, Rudy and Jeremy will lead us kind of just in a quiet time of music. Make this personal. Take some time with the Lord, and then come on up when you're done with the elements and hold them, and let's take them as a family when we're all done, okay? Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you. I thank you that you loved us enough to become a man. I thank you, Father, that you took on the flesh, that you paid the price for my sin. I thank you, Lord, that you've made a way that we can be with you for eternity. I thank you for your shed blood.
Yes.
I thank you for your body that was broken. Lord, I thank you that you desire an intimate relationship with us. I pray this morning that you would bring to the surface the things that are inhibiting our relationship. Bring to the surface, Lord, the things that are causing us strife, the things that might inhibit your Spirit from working. If we're holding a grudge, Lord, bring it to the surface. If we have bitterness, bring that. Lord, reveal the things that we have not been giving to you. I thank you that your promises are true. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.